Sportsline continues on Sports Radio 107.5 and 1400 The Fan.
Welcome back to Sportsline here on The Fan. Chris and Marcus, glad to be with you. We're going to be joined by Matt LePay in just a second. March Chaos in full swing here. Join The Fan for March Chaos. You can win a team and you can win some great prizes as well if your team is awesome. Just for getting in, you win a gift certificate to Cranky Pat's. You win, you get to the round of 32, a round of golf with cart from Village Green Golf Course, a Sweet 16, 18 holes in a cart from Thornberry Creek at Oneida, the official course of the Green Bay Packers. Right now, in the middle of all this March chaos, the Big Ten Conference Tournament looming, the outstanding voice of the Wisconsin Badgers basketball and football teams, Matt LePay. Matt, how you doing today?
Try that again.
Hello.
My bad.
Matt, how you doing today?
I'm still doing well. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. I couldn't hear you, but we knew you were there. Hey, before we get to the March chaos, Matt, I look at a guy like Ricky Wagner, who is not a top 10 projected pick and all that, a little old fifth rounder, but today the Lions make him the highest paid right tackle, $9 million per year. Any Ricky Wagner stories you can think of or guys like that that maybe in your heart of hearts you root for on a day like this? I haven't been able to follow your career maybe as close as I like since you left, but good for you.
Well, he was, you know, one of many offensive linemen who came in and was the grinder. I guess you would expect any offensive lineman to be a grinder, but he knows what it was like to be a part of conference championship teams in his time at Wisconsin. Three times. As a matter of fact, now in 2012, one of the reasons they got in was that a couple teams ahead of them were ineligible for postseason, but still. He was a winner and part of a really good group of offensive linemen. They've had some really strong eras in the history of the program, and Ricky was a part of a real strong era of guys who went on into the NFL. So yeah, you mentioned a fifth-round draft pick. It just goes to show you, as we all try to figure out who's number one, who's number
right.
two, that you could be one of those middle-round or later-round guys and make yourself a lot of money with that second contract. So good for Ricky. I'm happy for him.
The free agency is the redraft, but at a much higher price, Marcus.
Yes. Now, the big news, obviously, basketball front and center here with the Big Ten tournament going on. The big news today with the basketball program, Bo Ryan headed into the College Basketball Hall of Fame. And, I mean, where do you start with Bo? I guess we'll start with his tenure, the beginning of it, down in Madison. When he first got there, you know, where the program was to when he left, what do you remember about your first impression getting to know Bo Ryan?
Well, you know, I think really when you think of Bo, you have to go back as a College Basketball Hall of Famer to the 15 years at Platteville, four national championships there, and a couple of years in Milwaukee. The program at Wisconsin, it wasn't like it was a dumpster fire when he came here. I mean, Dick Bennett did such a great job, and then after he left a handful of games into the 2000-2001 season, Brad Soderberg did a nice job. It was a team that I think was running out of gas, but there was some talent. The challenge that Bo had in his first year is that when there's a coaching change, you know, a couple guys can leave. There was heavy graduation losses from the year before. Mike Kelly, Andy Kowski, that group, Mark Pershaw all moved on. And there were also injuries, and their roster was really limited that first year. They had maybe seven healthy scholarship players, and the expectations weren't very good. Because of the roster turnover, graduation injuries, and all of that, and he ended up winning a share of the Big Ten title. So, you know, he started off with a bit of a stacked deck. No one's fault. It wasn't poor coaching before him. It was just the turnover, and he had that. Still, some people might tell you that might have been his best coaching job that first year. And he and his staff getting a group of guys to buy in and. A team that was one of four to win a piece of the Big Ten championship and won a game in the NCAA tournament. But obviously he went on to even bigger and better things in his time at Wisconsin. To me, a no-brainer that he's in the National Collegiate Hall of Fame. There's different halls of fame. The biggest of the big is the Naismith Hall of Fame, and those honorees are announced during the weekend of the Final Four. He has been a finalist for that. Hopefully he will get into that sooner than later, but still, this is a big one. It's a heck of a class he's going in with, so congratulations to him. Very, very well deserved.
You're listening to Sportsline. That is the voice of the Wisconsin Badgers. Probably didn't have to tell you, though, that. You recognize him, Matt LePay. Matt, never ask you to compare him. You're talking of a Hall of Famer with Bo and Greg Gard in this second year here, but what are some of the things maybe that Greg has done a little bit differently, because I know so much of the same he obviously have to carry, including the players, Matt. But what has Greg done a little bit different? How does his team distinguish maybe from what Bo might have done with this group?
I think the biggest difference, and it's not like we've seen a lot of it, we've seen a sprinkling of it here and there. You see a little zone defense. Mm-hmm. Bo will always say with his man defense there were zone principles, but with Greg, there have been some times, a handful, where they've been able to break out their little 3-2 zone. So that's been the obvious noticeable difference. I think, though, sub patterns are much alike. Last year when he came in, Jordan Hill got more minutes, a lot more minutes than he was getting under Bo before he stepped down in the middle of December. He might have a gut feeling that's a little different with Bo. That's an example of it. I would suggest there are more similarities than differences. He does defer, or when in doubt, he leans to the more experienced players most of the time. Not all the time, but most of the time. They're both creatures of habit, but Greg on road trips has broken up the routine a little bit. They actually went out to dinner in Bloomington, Indiana in early January. That's not something they did under Bo. It was you cater into the hotel. Just little different things like that that may not mean much to fans, but for players, it was a bit of a diversion. But when you work with a guy that long, I think you would find that the similarities are going to be will outweigh the differences. Their core philosophies are very much the same, but there could be a little wrinkle here or there that's strictly Greg's and not necessarily the way Bo would do it.
That's really interesting stuff. Matt LePay, voice of the Badgers, Marcus.
Well, talking about the differences between Bo Ryan and then Greg Gard, what about the – I don't want to say that one game should flip your opinion on a team, but you see what you saw from the Badgers on Sunday, and it was like, where has this been? I mean, they had lost five of their previous six. Did that performance against Minnesota change anything as far as your opinion of the team going forward?
Well, I hope it does. I'm not the biggest believer in momentum collectively, because if I did, this team played really well in the second half in a comeback against Maryland 2 weeks ago and then laid an egg a few days later at Ohio State. So you would have thought that they would have carried that over. I can only hope so for their sake in this case that they can carry this over the way they played against Minnesota. I think guys have realized that if they didn't play well, if they didn't play well, Minnesota was going to crush them because Gophers came in having won 8 in a row, playing with a ton of confidence. The Badgers were staggered and they had a ton of energy in the game. And you don't get try hard trophies, but they seem to be getting to some of the more 50-50, but to more of the 50-50 balls in the first half when the shot still wasn't falling. And then in the second half, they started making shots. Koenig, the last two games, has shot the ball really well, and he started to get a little bit more support. Vito Brown played well, and it's been a while since he has. So the hope is that they can carry that into this week, and then even more importantly, next week. But last year, Syracuse lost 5 out of 6 going into the NCAA tournament and went to the Final Four. 6 years ago, UConn was a 500 team in its league, lost 4 out of 5 at the end of the regular season, won the national title. So whenever you think you have stuff figured out, goofy things happen. I think it's a pretty wide-open event this week in the Big Ten, and I think a fairly wide-open NCAA tournament. So with the right draw and a bounce here or there, this team might still be able to last a while.
That's Matt LePay, the voice of the Badgers here on The Fan. With Luke, it's a little more evident during the broadcast, but Matt, I got to say, it's amazing the free throw shooting woes, how you don't have, I mean, you do not communicate any disgust, if there is, or disappointment, or whatever it might be, but boy, we sure have seen a lot of it. Anything that might change with that, and just when it's tough to have that knot. I mean, when you're watching it in your stomach, to not have it when Nigel and Ethan go to the free throw line, and then just real quick, the other thing going into the tournament. Well, I will say this for the Big Ten: night in and night out, there were so many evenly matched teams that kind of like a tournament. You better bring your better game, or you're going to get beat.
Yeah, absolutely. There are I think a record number of overtime games in the regular season. Wisconsin had 3 of them and won them all. Minnesota had 5 in the regular season and won 3 of them, lost one of those to Wisconsin in January in Minneapolis. So, yeah, I don't know. Purdue clearly, to me, was the best team, and well, clearly to anybody, it won the league by 2 full games, and yet the games that they lost, they gave up a lot of points, and they're a very good defensive team. So is Wisconsin, although you wouldn't have known that if you had watched the game at Ohio State and a few days later against Michigan State, but their defensive efficiency, according to some of the advanced metrics, it was the best in the league, and Minnesota and Purdue were right there. But the free throw stuff, it's two guys. Hayes and Happ take more than half of the free throws, and their combined percentage is like 57, 58. Everybody else, you throw those numbers together, and it's upper 70s.
Right.
But those guys, by the nature of their position, they're going to get fouled a lot. Hayes has been it's been a real mystery because the last 2 years he was better than 70% at the foul line. And early in the year when he struggled, I wasn't too concerned about it, but he never fully snapped out of it. Even Happ last year was, I think, mid-60s, 64, 65, and better still in the postseason. But it becomes from the neck up. You tweak your technique a little bit, and you still have to trust it. You have to trust the tweak, so to speak, that you might, in practice, it might feel a little worse before it gets better. But there are stretches where they knock down free throws in practice with great frequency. They just haven't been able to translate it into games. And even if they make their first 2 or 3, they might miss their next 4 or 5. So it's just been a very strange thing. And it's pretty obvious, and I understand it, a Badger fan's fear is that could be the difference in a tournament game. I mean, I still think, especially Hayes, he might have a 9 for 10 in him at the foul line, but to sustain that over the course of a postseason, that would seem unlikely at this point because they just, neither of them has been able to get any kind of sustained rhythm at the foul line. And hopefully for their sake, they can, because they'll get there. If there's a close game, teams are going to hack them.
Boy, you're right.
They'll have their
that.
Chances at the line.
You know, the form, that's a crazy. The form is good. The rhythm is what's whack. I mean, hopefully they can get the rhythm going and maintain it. Matt, great stuff. Really appreciate you taking the time. And, look forward to the call on Friday. Should be a dandy.
All right, look forward to it, guys. Take care.
Take care. Matt LaPay, outstanding voice of the Wisconsin Badger football, basketball teams, and